This is an MUT Radio podcast.
Breast cancer affects millions of people around the world. During the month of October, numerous brands are showing their support by partnering with organizations where they actually help to raise funds in order to, you know, put them under research and also in identifying cures around breast cancer. So today we have Umesis. I mean, Kavinda, and she is a lecturer under biomedical sciences, and then she specializes in cytopathology. Good day, and welcome to the show, ma'am.
Hi, good day, everybody.
How are you today?
I'm well, thanks, and I'm really glad to be here, invited to speak on MUT Radio.
Yes, thank you so much for honoring our invite. You know, we would love to really understand what is cytopathology and also how important it is relating to the subject of today, which is breast cancer.
Okay, cytopathology falls under the broad umbrella of anatomical pathology. Mm. And essentially, it is cytology, which literally means the study of cells with the distinct purpose of diagnosing cancer. So it could be cervical cancer or cancer from any form of tumors that's palpable that you can aspirate substance from. Mm-hmm. It's a first line of diagnosis for most cancers.
It is, would be obviously how important it is relating to everything that is related to cancer, the whole module, how important it is.
Okay, cytology is a fairly misunderstood subject.
Yeah.
It's essentially learning to identify or appreciate what normal cells look like. Mm-hmm. And in so doing, you're able to find anomalies or abnormalities. And you can either diagnose precancerous lesions, infectious agents, and as well as cancer. And it's usually the first line of diagnosis before biopsy.
If I may ask, what is exactly breast cancer for someone who is, you know, average, just like me, who doesn't understand anything, you know? So what is breast cancer and what are the symptoms centered around them?
I think at this juncture, it's important to understand what cancer is. There's so much of doubt about it, misconceptions. People don't really understand it. And it's also very widely feared. With good reason, of course. Mm-hmm. So we all know that normal cells will grow normally, as the word suggests, and it will die after a finite number of cell divisions. So that's how it's designed to operate. But cancer cells, on the other hand, they continue to perpetuate and grow. They have a longer lifespan, and they don't undergo normal programmed cell death or apoptosis. Mm-hmm. So they tend to invade tissues around them. They are non-functional. So they're just clusters of abnormal tissue that invade all the functioning tissue around it. And they also have the ability to get into the blood, into your lymphatic system, and travel to other distant areas, form new colonies and new tumors. And depending on where they are, they can be, of course, deadly. If it appears in the brain, in the lung, it can take over the functioning and, yes, cause demise in most individuals.
All right. That is quite insightful. And if you just join us, remember that we have Mrs. Kavinda here today, who is explaining everything that is related to breast cancer. So furthermore, maybe what are the symptoms of breast cancer? And probably another question will be probably which age that you can be actually affected with breast cancer?
The age depends on the type of breast cancer. Mm. There are various types. Some are aggressive. When I say aggressive, some grow faster than others. Oh, yeah. They also move off from their primary location faster, while others are slow-growing tumors. They persist, and they most likely will be diagnosed before they actually form other colonies. So the age category we've noticed in recent decades as becoming progressively younger. even as young as the early 30s, we're finding malignant breast tumors. But more often than not, they are in the postmenopausal category after 50 years of age.
Yes.
So, yes.
So, Mrs. Governor, we've tried and unpack breast cancer. So, right now, we would love to dive deep into the symptoms that one can easily identify when they're actually diagnosed with breast cancer.
The symptoms depends on where the tumor actually lies. So, they can be quite vast. But some of the things to look for, to look out for is breast swelling, painful breast swelling, breast lumps. Okay, there's charts on examination procedures on the net. It's very widely accessible. And I think all women should conduct breast self-examination on a regular basis. So some of the other symptoms would be around the nipple, there could be flakiness or a discharge, dimpling as well, and recessing of the nipple as well. And also during the examination, try and look for possible lumps under the armpits. That's also a telltale sign of possible breast cancer. But not to alarm you, don't self-diagnose. Self-assessment does not mean self-diagnosis.
Oh, yes.
You should go to the nearest clinic if you have any of the symptoms or find any possible breast lumps.
All right. So what do you do when you're actually looking for those symptoms? Do you touch yourself or you look yourself in the mirror? What do you do?
Okay, if you look at the diagrams on the internet, you have to, you can lift your arm up and you've got to basically feel for lumps. You have to lie on your side as well. So there's various positions that allow the breast tissue to go to a side, but the lumps don't really readily move.
Oh.
So it allows you to identify the lumps more readily if you change positions. But like I said, there's an abundance of resources out there on the internet. So please, ladies, I encourage you to look those up.
All right. Thank you so much. So another thing that I would love to know, and for our listeners at home or whether they're at school or they're in a taxi, you know, they would love to also know actually how can cancer actually be cured. Maybe some of the cures that are out there that have been listed, you know, are there any?
I think the key to a higher incidence of cure for cancer is early diagnosis. That's the key.
Oh, yes.
Before I mentioned the tumor cells move on to a second location, rather you catch it early, and then maybe a lumpectomy, which is a removal of the lump, can possibly cure. Other times, of course, there's radical mastectomy. Sometimes bilaterally, if there's lumps on both sides, or some females may opt to do a bilateral, even if it's on one side, as a prophylaxis or possible prevention rather than a cure. Maybe you've heard of the case of Angelina Jolie. She tested positive for the BRCA genes, which predispose one to survive to breast cancer. And although she was not diagnosed with the disease as such, she opted for bilateral mastectomy and, of course, reconstruction.
Are there any side effects, though, to
the treatment?
Yeah, to the treatment.
Depends, once more, if there's how advanced the disease is. If it's localized, there's no other tumors, a CT scan was performed and no other tumors were located, then it would just mean treating or removing the lump itself. Maybe a radiation of the area, removing the lump, and that could possibly be the cure. But in other instances, it may require chemotherapy and estrogen blockers, because the tumor cells themselves tend to be estrogen-loving tumors. They have receptors that allow the tumor to grow in the presence of estrogen hormone. So the estrogen blockers will prevent the tumor from growing, but then it produces side effects like early menopausal symptoms in the female. But I suppose It's a small price to pay for a possible cure.
So now I think we need to know what actually happens when we go to the clinic, when we probably have identified some symptoms, you know.
Obviously, they're going to need to verify that there is indeed a lump. It may be that you were in a panic and you thought you felt a lump, but there wasn't. So that would be good news. But if there is a lump, and if it's a palpable lump, meaning that there is substance in it and it can be removed, then a fine needle aspiration biopsy will be performed. They will either send you off to a specialist, say at Albert Luthuli Hospital, where they will do a fine needle aspiration biopsy, which involves inserting a wide bore needle and applying negative pressure.
Doesn't look painful.
Removing substance. But it's far less painful than doing a radical cutting, dissection, removing a piece of the tumor, of the lump, the possible tumor. So the morbidity is not as great as if you had to go in and remove a piece of tissue, and the healing phase is also shorter.
When I was looking on the internet, I actually saw that men do also catch breast cancer. Is that true?
Absolutely true. Although it's not as common. Okay, far less common than breast cancer in women. Breast cancer in women is the most common cancer amongst women, followed by cervical cancer. But in men, you may find them few and far between, but it does happen. So if you, as a male, are experiencing swelling, pain, or a discharge, do not feel ashamed or embarrassed to go and have it checked out. Even if you have masses like scrotal masses, don't leave it to last, because I've had an occasion to find out about a friend of mine who whose son, a 21-year-old. I mean, most of you are 21 years and younger out there, right? He had a scrotal mass swelling. He was embarrassed, obviously, to speak about it and to get himself checked out. But eventually, it got to a stage where he couldn't really ignore it anymore, only to find that upon biopsy of a node, the way it had spread already in the groin area, that it was actually a cancer metastasis, or a spread of the cancer. So please don't feel ashamed. Don't feel embarrassed. I mean, nobody's going to take care of you. You are responsible for your own health.
Yes. You know, speaking of that scrotum and all the problems that are related there, you know, I would say at my story though, I was once having such issues of the swelling, and when I was touching myself, I could feel something that was actually growing on the side, and then that was back in 2014. And then what I did, I told my mother, and then because I couldn't bear the pain. You know, I was shy at first, but I couldn't bear the pain. And then I ended up telling her. And then she suggested that I should go to the doctor. And then I went to the doctor, and then they couldn't identify anything. I went through radiograph and all that. And then they tried to identify what is actually there, and then they couldn't identify it. And then I ended up doing an operation. And then they did not give me the result. My mother has been keeping all the result from me. I asked her so many times, what did they find? And she would say, she'd say nothing. So I'm so perplexed. And to an extent that even this year, I did ask her again. And she did not tell me anything.
I think when you turn 18, certain rights, you know, come into being. Your human rights. So, you have a right to know. And maybe sit your mom down and talk to her and say, now you're old enough to take ownership of your own health, and you really appreciate what she's done for you and trying to protect you. But you're old enough, and you can actually, you're mentally able to absorb any sort of diagnosis.
All right. Thank you. You touched on cervical cancer. What is actually that?
Cervical cancer is a type of cancer that affects, obviously, females. It's in the female genital tract. And the main etiological or causative agent is human papilloma virus, which is a sexually transmitted infection. And it's widely spread amongst the youth.
Mm.
And it has a precancerous phase, meaning that there are stepping stones before it becomes malignant. Oh. So if you avail yourself to a pap smear, which the government provides free of charge to sexually active women, this could actually mitigate or prevent possible cervical cancer in the future.
Do you have any words of encouragement, and also to especially to people that are dealing with this, because it's quite a huge number of ladies that are dealing with breast cancer and maybe other type of cancer as well. So do you have any words of encouragement, and so that people can always take care of their health?
I think it all starts in the mind.
Mm-hmm.
Keep a strong mind. Try not, it's difficult at times, but you need to pick yourself up. You need to believe that you are an overcomer and that you're going to get through this. Mm-hmm. And as women, we are strong. We are stronger than we think. We overcome many things throughout our lives. And this is one other thing that we will overcome.
Thank you so much, Mrs. Governor. We really appreciate you.
Absolute pleasure.
And obviously, people might want to engage even further with you, you know. So probably they would ask questions so that you can actually break it down for them and be able to understand whatever that you were actually talking about today. So when can they actually contact you?
You can drop me an email anytime at, it's quite easy to remember, it's governor@mut.ac.za.
This is an MUT Radio podcast.